Mildred should be somewhere behind him, and he'd heard Dean call out at some point. The youngster was like his father, keen to take responsibility for his companions, expecting the same of them in return. A shower of pebbles and earth from above and to his right snapped JB back from the reverie into which he'd unwittingly fallen, a sign perhaps of fatigue.
Damn!
The armorer spun to his right, pulling the Uzi into position and squinting into the storm. He would fire if he was certain, but he didn't want to chill Dean or Jack by accident, and that was exactly the sort of move they might pull. JB had expected to see either of those two, or more likely one of Murphy's sec men whom he could chill in an instant. The very last thing he'd expected was what appeared to be a flying bundle of rags that leaped from off the seemingly sheer face of the valley and hurtled toward him. It was impossible, and had to have been a trick of his reflexes blunted by the storm and shock, but it seemed as though the bundle of rags increased its velocity through the air in order to beat him to the punch. The Uzi was level with the flying figure as it cannoned into him, an arm knocking the blaster to one side. JB's finger flexed instinctively on the blaster's trigger, sending a hail of fire to bite ineffectively into the side of the Enclave. The armorer didn't notice the waste of precious ammo. He was far too busy trying to fight off the flying bundle, which became a whirling dervish of muscle as it hit him, slamming him to the ground so that his spine jarred and the breath was squeezed from painfully constricted lungs. JB felt as though he had to have lost a couple of ribs. The pain was so sharp as he tried to draw breath. The ragged bundle was now on top of him, pinning him to the earth. The strips of old clothing were wrapped around the figure in such a way as to obscure its true size. It could have been a small man or a fat-bellied giant. Certainly the impact on JB had made him sure it was the latter at first, but now he wasn't as sure. As the figure lay across him, and the shock of the impact died down to a throbbing throughout his body, JB's instincts kicked in. The figure wasn't much taller than he was. Their faces were level, and he could feel the other's feet on his own as the attacker lay on top of him. The weight of the attacker wasn't crushing him now that they were hand to hand, so he guessed that his assailant was probably about the same build and weight as himself. The rags were layered and swathed around the figure's head and face so that only the eyes were showing. They glittered with determination and not a little madness as they bore into JB. And yet, there was something in them.
If you value your life, at least for the short time to come, then you will not resist me!
The eyes and voice had momentarily hypnotized the armorer to the extent that for a second he didn't feel her hands as they darted across his body. His knife was unsheathed with a practiced ease, and the Smith & Wesson M4000 was slipped from its secure moorings. The pockets of ammo that were located all over his body were also probed.
You will come with me now! Away from this hole and into the valley. It is milder there. We wish to talk with you.
Uh-huh.
JB found himself nodding in agreement. Even though all his instincts were telling him to fight back, his muscles refused to respond, almost paralyzed by the hypnotic tones. Suddenly, the woman on top of him stiffened, her muscles contracting. Her eyes lost contact with his for a fraction of a second. JB felt instantly as though his strength were restored to him, and he rolled the unconscious body off him. Mildred Wyeth was starting to feel really angry. As if it wasn't bad enough that the idiot Murphy's sec men had them pinned down, and this damn dust storm made it impossible to see more than 2 feet in front of your nose, now it seemed as though a third faction had joined the fray. She had no idea who they were and where they might have come from. Neither did she care. They were another obstacle between the companions and freedom. Holding the ZKR, with the poise and assurance that had made her an Olympic silver medalist in pre-dark times, Mildred made her way from cover to cover, knowing that JB was in front of her, and hopefully Doc behind. How the old man would cope in these conditions worried her. But right now she had herself to worry about. To her right, a small pile of gravel littered the earth. She looked up sharply, leveling the ZKR where she expected to see one of Murphy's sec men. Instead, she saw a bundle of rags head past her, tripping along a narrow track that a rat would have trouble keeping a footing on, let alone a human being.
Well, I'll be...
The figure was heading toward JB's cover. If she squinted hard enough, Mildred could just make out the armorer's fedora and a blurred shape beneath that could be his darkly clad body merging into the cover he had taken. She saw him move off into the open, heading for the next piece of cover. Then she saw the ragged figure gain ground on him with a sense of purpose.
Shit, John. Do I have to get you out of everything?
She set off at a brisk trot in pursuit of the ragged figure. A sudden volley of shots from above diverted her attention from what was happening in front of her. Spinning on her heel, Mildred dove for cover. Except that there wasn't any. The sniper had caught her out in the open. She hit the ground hard, taking the impact on her shoulder and using it as momentum to pitch and roll. Her heavy coat, pockets burdened, slowed her fractionally as she came up on her knees, holding the ZKR in front of her in a two-handed grip. From the manner in which the ground had spurted around her as she fell and rolled, she'd calculated that the sniper would be to her left and about 20 feet up. Her eyes raked the face of the valley, trying to locate the SEC man before he had a chance to get his eye in and chill her. There. She could see the barrel of his H&K resting on top of a rock, his head clearly visible. She took aim. The SEC man had taken off his protective helmet in order to get closer into his blaster, resting the stock against his cheek. His sparse, cropped dark hair was rippling in the howling wind. Mildred ignored the spray of earth around her that joined the storm-tossed detritus as the SEC man blasted at her, trying to get his aim right. Gritting her teeth and narrowing her eyes to sight along the ZKR, Mildred got him perfectly within her range. Breathing deeply and slowly to try to counter the adrenaline rush in her guts, she applied a gentle but firm pressure to the trigger of her blaster. Mildred squeezed off two rounds. The first caught the SEC man on the scalp, making him jerk to one side with pain and surprise. The second had originally been intended to hit him just beneath the right eye, exposed as he'd been sighting her through his left. However, the shock and jolt of the scalp wound caused him to move in such a way that his head shifted toward the line of the bullet, which caught him just beneath the nose. The lead ripped through his top lip, breaking open his palate with a splintering of bone and a pulping of soft flesh. The bone splinters ricocheted around the sinus cavities as his nose powdered under the impact. Bone shards followed the bullet as it drove into his brain. Mildred didn't have time to watch him die. As soon as she saw him spin for a second time, she knew that he was already dead. By the time his corpse slumped over the rocks and slid down the face of the valley, Mildred was already headed toward JB and the ragged figure. It had taken only a couple of seconds to dispel the danger to herself, but it was long enough for the ambulatory bundle of rags to catch up to the stumbling armorer and throw itself at him. Mildred prayed that the howling winds would drown out her footsteps, even though she ran with as light a step as she could manage. The figure was now on top of JB, facing in the opposite direction from her, so at least it couldn't sight her as she tried for ground.
Damn it!
There was no way she could risk a shot, as the rags spread out over the prone armorer, making it impossible for her to delineate where the attacker ended and JB began. Without breaking stride or pausing for thought, Mildred tossed the ZKR in the air, catching it by the barrel and preparing to use the butt as a club. As she came within a few strides, she was sure that the bundle of rags could hear her as it seemed to suddenly pause and incline its head.
Huh?
But Mildred was quicker, bringing the butt crashing down on where she thought the skull would be located under the rags. She felt some satisfaction as the slumping figure fell off JD. He looked up at her like a man waking from sleep.
What was that about, John? What?
Mildred felt the pricking of a sharpened blade penetrate through the thick coat on her back and draw a bead of blood in her lumbar region. The warm blood trickled across and down, mixing with a sudden cold sweat.
Drop the blaster, Missy. I don't think Tilly here is going to be too happy with you when she comes around if you haven't broke her bastard skull.
Mildred raised her hands and let her pistol fall to the ground. She looked at JB, who was still seemingly dazed, and shrugged.
Some days you just shouldn't get up. Am I right?
Christy stayed behind the rock, keeping as much of the open space as she could see through the swirling dust clouds. Through the roar and howl of the storm, she could hear scattered shooting and the yelling of voices. Roughly estimating the size of the enclave from what she'd seen so far, she figured that it wasn't that large, which made it all the more frightening that she couldn't see what was going on a few yards in front of her. But she had heard Dean's shouted exchange with his father, and watched the boy zigzag past her to find cover. She knew that Rhine was waiting for them at the pass out of the enclave, and wondered how they would all get to somewhere they couldn't even see. Her ears were sharp enough to detect the distances between the different sounds of blaster fire and movements that she could hear in the enclave. Sharp enough to tell when someone was running toward her. Christie whirled to face the direction of the sound and leveled her blaster.
It's me, Dean!
Gaia, I nearly chilled you.
Had to move quickly. They're gaining ground on us all the time. Dad's waiting at the pass. Jack's gone back to try and find Doc as he's gone missing. Don't know about JB or Mildred. The storm's slowing us up.
Dean reacted with concern when he saw the way that Christie's fiery red hair was moving about, coiling in tendrils about her head, neck, and shoulders.
Something wrong?
Not sure what, but something other than what we're prepared for.
Murphy's sect men know this land well, and seeing as they got outside before us, I reckon it's not too hard to see how they could get the upper hand on this terrain. We should expect anything from them.
You're learning fast. Trouble is, though, I don't think it's Murphy's men that we've got to look out for.
Then who?
Good question, young'un. Maybe I can give you an answer.
What?
Christie and Dean froze at the voice from behind them. Sure, it was possible that one of them, in the noise and confusion of the storm and fighting, may have missed the sound of an approach from the rear. But for both of them to miss it entirely, bespoke a silent enemy to be reckoned with.
Now, if you want to draw more than one more breath, I'd suggest that you drop those there blasters and turn around real slow-like.
Shit.
Say, lady, looks like you're a mutie without a hair.
Does it make a lot of difference?
Maybe, maybe not. Guess it doesn't matter a damn. Not really. Just curious. Now, if you'll just be so good as to turn around.
Guess we don't have much choice.
Christie and Dean turned slowly to face their captor. He was a giant of a man, nearly 7 feet and at least 400 pounds. The homemade blaster he held in both hands was a gigantic weapon, fashioned of what seemed to be two old motorcycle exhausts welded together and bound with wire. The stock appeared to be a burned and scarred old lump of timber, and the trigger was like a rusty old nail. It seemed to be the sort of device that would explode in its user's hands when the slightest pressure was applied to the trigger. The trouble was, with a blaster that size, the surrounding area would also get wasted, and that included them.
Okay! Now that we're all friendly-like, I suggest we get the hell out of here before those hellspawn catch up with either us or you, depending on who they're after.
Oh, it's us, all right.
Well, now, I guess that's not up to me to decide.
There was something about the way he said it as he looked them up and down that made Christie's skin crawl.
Those sure are nice blasters you got there. Be ashamed to waste them. So why don't you just pick them up by the wrong end and carry them stretched out in front of you like?
Like this?
Yeah! All right. So let's move on out of here.
What if the sect men from the redoubt attack us now?
Then you get chilled. So the sooner we head out, the better.
They trudged the few hundred yards to where Rhine was waiting at the head of the only track out of the enclave. Like them, he was covered by an antique and home-repaired blaster. Rhine exchanged questioning glances with Christie, who tried to convey to him in a simple gesture that she couldn't figure out what was going on either. JB and Mildred emerged from the opaque blanket of swirling dust and dirt, carrying between them what appeared to be a bundle of rags. The giant covering Christie and Dean shook his head.
Wouldn't like to be them.
Christie took one look at the face of the man with the bayoneted Lee Enfield, who stalked behind Mildred and JB. Before the armorer and Mildred had a chance to say anything, Jack emerged from the storm, followed by a squat man whose blaster was trained in the middle of Jack's back.
Okay. Let's move out.
Mildred! Where's Doc?
I don't know.
Doc Tanner emerged from unconsciousness. It had been a coma so deep, albeit short, that for minutes he had been aware of nothing, not even blackness. The old man realized that his mouth tasted of the sour salt of dried blood. His eyes felt heavy, and his head ached in a strangely throbbing manner. He opened one eye cautiously, and the reason for the throbbing became obvious. Doc was hanging upside down over Murphy's shoulder. At least he assumed it to be Murphy, as it was the sec chief who'd rendered him unconscious. Next, he was aware of both an artificial quality to the light and the absence of both wind and grit scouring his skin. They were back in the redoubt.
I'll say one thing for you, old fart. You've got damn good powers of recovery for someone your age. Though from what I hear, you aren't as old as you look. Or maybe older, if you want to be strictly accurate.
Murphy stopped, lowering Doc until the old man was back on his feet. Doc took an uncertain step to try to regain equilibrium.
Woe is me.
Murphy, sensing that, unlike earlier shams, Tanner was really at a loss to fight back, helped the old man to steady himself.
I would thank you for your kind assistance, if not for the fact that it is you who is responsible for my current condition.
Don't worry. I didn't hit you hard enough to break anything. The gen would have me recycled if I'd harmed you permanently in any way. You're a very important person to him, so I had my orders. And we always go by the regs down here.
I always believe in congratulating a craftsman who knows his art.
Better believe it, bub. I could have harmed you without blinking.
Murphy examined his rings, rubbing the skull ring with a kind of pride.
I know just the right amount of pressure or force for any blow.
That I can only too well believe. I would assume that you were instructed to bring me back at the expense of my companions, because of whatever madness Wallace has in mind. You need have no fears about any form of resistance from me at this point. In the words of old Vids, it would be futile.
Then let's get going.
Yes, let us.
Wallace was sitting behind his desk, agitated and fussing over piles of paperwork.
Come in.
Sir, Prisoner Tanner.
Wallace looked up from the paperwork, his hands freezing over sheets the relevance of which had ceased to be of importance many decades before.